Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk about the latest Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show, questions@multiformpodcast.com. This is episode 232. I lost my track. I'm Tim Shelton, and this week I'm joined by my brother-in-law, Spencer Rain.
Hello, I have returned.
And my friend Gus Harden.
Hello. Thanks.
Your name's fun to say. Actually, yes. Both you guys have fun names to say. Rain and Harden. So Spencer makes it rain and you're hard.
And I am hard. I'm a hard man.
You're a hard man to get along with.
Yeah. They say it's like the Hulk. He's like, that's my secret cap. I'm always angry. It's like, that's my secret cap. I'm always hard.
Okay.
Yeah, Gus is always hard.
He's always hard to get along with.
I'm always hard.
Nope, just always hard.
Just always
hard. I hate this conversation. I have a lot of regrets about how I intro'd this podcast. I have a very much regret.
Yeah, you did this to yourself, Tim.
Exit. I got a new mechanical keyboard, so if I have to Google anything during this show, you guys are going to
in the background.
Oh yeah, you guys are going to hear some here. I'll do a little demo for the listeners.
I actually just got a notification saying that I can play Hi-Fi Rush now on my computer.
Ooh, did you down? Oh yeah, yeah. I have it downloaded on my Xbox and my PC. We'll talk about that in a minute. Here's a little demo. Here you go.
Yeah.
Hopefully that comes through on the mic. Well, I'm not exactly.
You should have gotten one where it has like typewriter keys where it's like click clack click clack and it's like super loud.
These are Cherry MX switches, which are clickety but not loud. The blue MX switches are way louder. Those are the ones with the actual actuation point.
You'll get tinnitus from using.
Yeah, no, these are more linear. They're like linear. They're kind of clicky. They're more clicky than like a basic keyboard, but they're not super clicky. So it's a good middle ground.
I can't wait for them to release a keyboard that plays a sound effect whenever you hit the keys and then just have the Vine boom sound effect be your key noise.
So this keyboard, one of the things it can do is it can animate when you hit a key. And I have mine set to like, it's almost like an explosion of white. Like when I hit a key, it like bursts out from that key. I don't know. I'm just messing around with it since I got it. But okay. So this week was the big Xbox Developer Direct. We'll get to that in a minute. But before we do, let's talk about games we've been playing. And some of that's going to bleed over into the news. So I actually cut some news stories because we're actually going to talk about them in the games we've been playing. The first one is they finally announced a release date for GoldenEye 007 on Nintendo Switch and Xbox. And it was a few days after they announced it, which was this last week. And Spencer and I have both played it. Gus, I don't think you have. Have you? The GoldenEye?
No, I have not. Okay.
So, Spencer, I guess, anything you want to share? For me, it was very nostalgic.
Did you ever figure out how to beat the second mission? Because I did.
No, I didn't try it again after I talked to you. Because the time I died, so I did the first two missions. And I died to the gas or whatever, not knowing how to get out of the room. And the time that I died, I looked at the clock and I was like, oh, it's the exact time I need to leave to come to your house to help you out with some stuff yesterday. So I didn't even have time to try it again. And then when I got home last night, I played a different game, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. So, I don't remember. After you blow up the gas tanks, how do you get out of that room?
Yeah, there's like a conveyor belt that's like across the room and you just go out that way.
I remember
it's so
now.
Stupid. Because, we both tried to, escape all the way back to the beginning of the level, even though that would be impossible.
I fought, a thousand guys.
Well, yeah, but it'd be impossible to even escape because, remember, you, fall out of the ceiling, so...
Well, I wasn't trying to go that way. I just assumed some new path would open up.
Yeah, yeah. I've played the same amount as you of this re-release, and, yeah, it's cool. I mean, the music. I love the music. Like, there's so many TikToks.
Oh, the music is so good. The TikToks.
Yeah, before this even was released, for whatever reason, people were just making a ton of TikToks about the menu music, the pause music, and yeah, it is still pretty incredible. I don't even know, what did they, so did they make it 60 FPS? Because
it's 4K 60, but it's the original graphics, including bad mistakes in the graphics, how you can see the edges and stuff,
terrible,
some of the polygons.
Yeah, just absolutely terrible first generation 3D graphics, just
carried
people.
It all forward.
I'm listening to the pause music now.
Yeah, oh, it's so fire.
The guns look fine, I would say, but yeah, all the people, the vehicles, structures, landscapes, it's all so terribly blocky. classic N64 PS1 era stuff. But yeah, I mean, I plan to beat this. I mean, it is long from the perspective that there are a ton of missions, but each mission is like 10 minutes. It seems like to me they're super short.
Does anyone know they did a graphical remake of this game for XBLA that was a digital only 360 game. Mm-hmm. Does anyone know? Can you still buy that? I have no idea. Like, would that even be available on Xbox.com, or would you have to get a 360 out to do that? Because I'm pretty sure it's not available. And since it didn't have a disc version, I don't think you can get a hold of it unless you already own it.
It says it was unpublished.
According to the
GoldenEye Wiki, it was developed by Rare for Xbox Live Arcade around 2007, 2008, but ultimately went unpublished due to licensing constraints.
It never came out in
2021. So you can play it. You can probably find it somewhere, but it was never actually released for public consumption.
Yeah, and then there was a GoldenEye 007 Reloaded, which I think is an entirely different the same game, time. Right?
Yeah, it is. It's the same characters, like 006, isn't it? Trevelyan, who's like the villain or whatever. But I think I played that one on
But that's Xbox a different game, though, right?
Yeah, that's a totally different game.
It had Daniel Craig on the cover, despite having nothing to do with Daniel Craig, since it's based on the GoldenEye movie.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, according to Wikipedia, they used Daniel Craig's likeness and voice, even though it is still like a kind of a GoldenEye remake.
Yeah, well, I guess it says here it's a remake of the Nintendo Wii GoldenEye 007. So it's like...
So a remake of a remake.
But it uses a different name, so it's actually not... It's a reimagining of the classic video game is the way
that's
the Wiki
a better way of saying
it.
Let
me get my hands on this just for comparison's sake. I'm sure it's not available digitally.
Yeah, so anyway. It's cool. Like I said, I plan on beating it because I think I can't imagine it taking very long to beat. It's cool.
I looked it up and I think how long to beat said it's about 10 hours.
Yeah. I mean, that's not too terribly long.
One thing I forgot about is the difficulties don't like change the... I don't know if it changes the number of enemies or anything, but what it does is change the number of mission objectives. So like if you do the second difficulty, you have 2 to 5 mission objectives.
That's
but if
so
you do easy, you only have 1 mission objective, like basically to survive the level. And if you do extra hard, I'm assuming you have like a ton of mission objectives and the enemies are harder. I can't think of any other game that I remember ever playing that had that for difficulty.
That's fascinating.
Increase the number of mission objectives.
I kind of like that. That's definitely like a creative way to make your game more challenging or less challenging based off of what the player wants. I thought I picked the lowest difficulty, but I definitely had like 4 objectives on each
of
these missions.
The dam mission, the first mission, if you do the middle difficulty out of the 3 difficulties, you have to jump off the bridge and disable all the alarms. If you do easy, all you have to do is jump off the bridge. And if you do hard, I don't know because I didn't try.
Oh, speaking of the first mission, you're supposed to place like the sensor on the server for like MI6 to intercept the communications. And I definitely like did it wrong. And then like it told me like a pop-up said like you put this on the wrong place. And there like wasn't anything I could do. And I just jumped off the dam and passed the mission anyway.
Yeah, there's a little keypad about halfway through the level that has something to do with it because I shot that and it's like, now you can't download information. And then when I got to that server, I put the device on it and it was like, you still can't download information because you blew up that thing or whatever.
Hmm.
It's interesting because this, like you said, this is the early 3D graphics. And also, this is before all the hand-holdy stuff games have now, like waypoints and directional markers and... Yeah. Clarity around your objective. I mean, they don't even give you images of what you're supposed to be looking for. It's just like jumping off the dam. You just have to have seen the movie or accidentally find the right spot to walk off the dam for it to work.
That's what I did. I found the spot where I was like, all right, this is clearly where I jump off. And then I did. And it was the weirdest thing. It was like, I was just falling. You're just falling, falling, falling. And you're like, did I just kill myself? And then all of a sudden it randomly goes to a cutscene of 007 just like swan diving off of the side.
Yeah, and the cutscene is one of those old style ones where it like does it multiple times. Like it's like it happens, then it flashes back 5 seconds and does it again from a different camera angle, and then does it again from a different camera angle.
Yeah.
Ah, GoldenEye. So much nostalgia.
Yeah.
Another thing interesting about this re-release is the publishing rights are owned by Nintendo, and Microsoft bought the developer Rare. So it's taken a very long time for them to work out the rights to get the game out. And part of that seems to be this deal with the devil they made with Nintendo, which is the game came out on Switch and Xbox. And that was part of the deal, I'm assuming, with Nintendo. This all seems to make sense. And the Switch version has some issue with the controls. Like, they don't work right. Hello? Is anyone there? Why can't I hear anybody? You're all muted.
Oh, sorry, you're muted. Yeah, good now.
You were just lagging for a second.
Yeah, you went through this period where it was like we were like getting intercepted by the Soviet Union and our communications were getting jammed for invasion or something.
Well, the good news is it sounded like that to you guys. But since we're recording locally, the audience won't hear that. Everything should be good for them. But I just was saying Nintendo Switch version of this game, apparently the controls are not the same as the Xbox version. And there's a lot of complaints about having to like custom map everything to make it work right. Whereas the Xbox version straight out of the box works pretty well. It's a little bit dated, but like they have it set up for the two joystick control, aiming and shooting are all the right, the joysticks. The only thing that's really, I guess, weird is Y is next weapon. And LB is previous weapon, or RB is next weapon. So you can like scroll through with the two bumpers, or you could hit Y. So it doesn't do like the thing that Halo kind of made popular with toggling back and forth. It goes in a linear 1, 2, 3, 4 through your weapons, like an old PC game. If you were to, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 down the number pad. So, the other thing, well, Spencer, anything else you played this week that you want to highlight?
Yeah, I didn't get up to too much this week. I finished the first assassination job on High on Life, Nine Torg. Locally, because I played some like a week and a half ago via cloud, but it was difficult. It was a little bit of a lag compared to CK3. Like CK3, perfect game to play on cloud because there's no real, like, yeah, when you're micromanaging battles, but really there's no real consequences if there's a lag from input to actual output. But a game like obviously like like High on Life, where it's first person shooter, that could be problematic. And so I was having a ton of trouble with that boss fight because I just couldn't, like, there was just that slight lag and it made it difficult. So I did finally beat that earlier this week, but I haven't picked that game up in a few days. I think I played, I kind of messed around with a couple other game with War Thunder and I guess War Thunder for a little bit, but nothing to say there really. I just was curious because there was some free stuff on there. I didn't have a ton of time this week to play much, but so that's pretty much it for me.
Gus, it looks like you were playing another trio of Marvel games, looking at your playlist.
One of them I hardly call playing. I reinstalled the game and looked at it, and then was like,
which one was that?
That was Avengers, because I wanted to see what all we would be getting in March. And I said it last week, and I'll kind of say it again now, because now that you and I kind of talked about it a little bit about the like the horrible like decision making on the DLC characters and why they, I don't know if it was lazy or what, but we talked about how the first two DLC characters are carbon copies of each other, Hawkeye and Kate Bishop, in terms of their skill set.
And well, then, yeah, they made them slightly different, but yeah, they're both bow and arrow characters.
But they're both bow and arrow characters. And then you had Black Panther, which is fine.
He was the only original DLC character.
Exactly.
In my opinion.
And then you have technically Spider-Man.
Okay.
But we didn't get him.
We
on
didn't
Xbox,
get him.
So it doesn't matter. And then you have, I'm not going in any particular order, Jane Foster, who is Thor. So
a second Thor
Thors
character.
We have second
Her
Thor
moveset
character.
Is way more similar to the first Thor than Kate Bishop was the Hawkeye. But still, and then, both, it's a Thor character. It's a hammer.
Winter Soldier, who is another super soldier. And then you have, I think that was it.
That's it. And then there were two that the people data mined and found out that they canceled. One would have been She-Hulk, which would have been another Hulk character. And the other one would have been Captain Marvel, which would have been their only other character besides Black Panther that was wholly original. Which, like,
it's black. It should have been Hawkeye, Black Panther, Captain Marvel should have been the first three.
I know.
It's I like know. It's like they were trying to make money off of Thor: Love and Thunder by putting out Jane Foster Thor.
And you could make a case that that makes sense, right? It like okay, yeah. I get Kate if Bishop you want to do
Hawkeye,
that
for the Hawkeye show. Like they're trying to do tie-ins and stuff, but it's just like it's like, and I get that, like you said, but like, they didn't get it.
I guess maybe they were trying to do tie-ins because Ms. Marvel was a show, but that was already in the game.
Yeah,
they did Kate Bishop and Hawkeye when they came out. She-Hulk was rumored but didn't make it out.
Yeah,
I don't know, but if that was the case, then they did a terrible job of marketing it because it wasn't really clear to associate those things. Like you should have had like ads and that. Made it clear that those were they didn't even line up around the same time as the shows. I don't know.
It's just you and I were very such a disappointed weird direction. With that. Yeah, it's such it was a very weird direction for them to go in for the DLC characters. And I said even later on, I was like, why not even have characters like Doctor Strange be in there? Like heck, and if you don't want to do Doctor Strange, if you want to have a magic character, do Scarlet Witch. If you feel the need to have another female character in the game, like if that's like because that was like. A lot of the problem that people have with it, it's like, oh, Ms. Marvel and Black Widow are the only two female characters in the game, so that we need to have more because that's just how Disney is. No judgment there, but that's just how they are. And it's just like, but they're boring characters. Kate Bishop is boring because she's not Hawkeye.
Like maybe I like her better than Hawkeye. That's probably an unpopular opinion. I think she has more personality than Hawkeye does.
I agree that she's a lesser known character, which is
for sure.
Like people already aren't okay about Hawkeye, and then they're like, "Hey Bishop, who's that?" And without the show, they would have had no idea.
Well, I suggest that we don't go too much more down this rabbit hole because
I'm done pretty much there.
In 4 or 5 weeks, when this does go free for all the DLC, we'll probably revisit it then. And you, because I'm going to get back into it that time and play Winter Soldier because he's the only character I haven't played, and I'm just going to wait till they do their final update and make all the DLC free, and then I'll check that out.
Yeah, I don't know. I am excited. Like last time I'll say is I am excited for some of the DLC. Well, not the DLC, like the special
skins
outfits because that's a lot of them. A lot of them are pretty cool. Most of them are movie tie-ins, which whatever.
There's some also deep cut comic book ones that are really weird.
There are, which I kind of like. The Ultimate Iron Man is very meme looking, but
yeah, there's some really weird Iron Man ones where he like has the like mind control helmet when he was like a villain. I think in the comics. I don't know. Yeah, anyway,
something like. Supreme Iron Man or something, whatever. Yeah. But anyway, and then I played, actually, that's what I was playing before I got on here was more Midnight Suns.
Did you buy the season pass and do the DLC?
I haven't done that. I've just been playing the regular base game.
Did you start New Game Plus or are you still on your first play?
No, well, so what I'm trying to do is I'm just playing it in a way where I can get stuff more easily, I guess. Like, there are missions that I'm having to play now that I'm getting special. Cosmetics for, but all it is either different skin tones for my character or different eye colors. Like I just unlocked red, right? Red skin color, and I really want the I want a black skin color, like a fully like black like jet black skin color. I think that would be fun. I just got the one where I think your skin's like completely white, and then I have the gold one, I have the blue one. So I can be Kree if I want to. It's just some interesting, weird little things. And then, yeah, I'll probably start the New Game Plus sometime this week. And maybe I probably will get the season pass. Yeah. I've enjoyed the game that much, which I guess is kind of shocking because I haven't been like overwhelmingly like, yeah, but it's just like a game that I can just play and have fun. It's like there's customization and it's easy. It's an easy game to play. And now that I've gotten really into it before, when I first started, you'll remember I said that it was kind of a difficult game to get a grasp of at the beginning. But once you do, it's pretty easy.
So it has a kind of a little bit of a learning curve.
Yeah, there's a steep learning curve. But once you learn it, it's like easy. And then I played Snap. I got the Battle Pass. I now have Zabu because I got to level 50 on the Battle Pass. And I think I'm level like 57 now on Snap, I think, on the Battle Pass. I got a few extra things. about a cool Ultron card. I'm still on the fence about buying that Deadpool one where he's riding the Nyan Cat. But I just don't use Deadpool enough to like justify spending 1,200 gold on it.
Man, I end up with so much gold that I if I think a card looks cool, I buy it. Because
I'm still waiting for the Alex Ross Captain America to go back on sale because I want that badly. Yeah, now that I actually have gold to spend on it.
It's so weird. I'm on Android and you're on iOS, and our stores are not the same. I don't know why they don't have it standardized across all platforms. I wonder if it's different on PC, too.
I think I feel like it's different for everybody.
Like random for every person?
Yeah, it's just random for every day.
Maybe that's true because
because
it has to factor in what you own, right? Because it won't sell stuff that you already have.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
I think it's just different for everyone. But I will say, I wish the store would change like two or three times a day like the collector shop does.
A lot of people have been saying that online.
Because it's like, there's
like
these
six,
and I'm just like, man, I don't care about any of these. Like,
I'm really tired of pixel variants and baby variants.
Pixel, baby, and chibi variants are all like, I'm like, don't give a crap about any of these.
I also don't really care about sports variants, but at least those can be cool.
Yeah,
I got a Nick Fury sport variant where he's the referee. That was out of a collector pack. So that one wasn't horrible. I'd rather have that than a baby Nick Fury.
Yeah.
The baby ones are just stupid.
I have three Nick Furies. I have the regular one. I have the Christmas one where Samuel L. Jackson is like signed it virtually. Signed
I have the signed one too.
I have the Dan Hip, which is like my least favorite of any of the like special artists. No offense to Dan Hip, but I just don't vibe with his art style. I like Luca Claretti's a lot.
I'll have to watch out for that.
Yeah, I like his a lot. And then the Max Greck ones are kind of fine. And then the Alex Ross one, the only one that I've seen is Captain America. And I've been saying so many times that I want it, and it hasn't gone on sale since then. And I've been hoarding my my Captain America boosters to level up the Alex Ross variant when I get them.
That's funny.
But anyway, that's what I've been playing.
So for me, we already talked about GoldenEye. I finished God of War 2018. I can't remember if I had completed it last week, but if I had, I continued playing it after I beat it to do all the side missions, which I forget if they call them feats or if they call them journeys or favors. They have a bunch of little names for the side missions versus the challenges that are not side missions and challenges. One of them, I think, is favors. Anyway, I finished most of the side missions. The only ones I didn't do are the ones that have you doing the round-based, like, I don't know what you call it. There's two worlds, Niflheim and the one that starts with an M, that are basically like kind of like horde mode, challenge mode room things where you have to get through like a certain amount of stuff without dying and escape and extract with your loot. I didn't know that was going to be in God of War, but I didn't really want to engage with that, and I wasn't going for the platinum trophy, so... I didn't need to do that. I did play it a little bit. I did one or two rounds, but I wasn't going to like min-max it, especially when I looked into how much time it would take to fully do everything. And I was like, yeah, there's no way I'm going to grind this out. Man, that's a great game. I bought the sequel this week, God of War Ragnarok, so I'll start that. I don't know if I'll start it soon, but I used a gift card I had to buy that. And God of War 2018 was just fantastic. I feel silly that I got 75% of the way through it all those years ago and didn't finish it until 2023. My wife walked in while I was playing and she goes, "How old is this game?" And I go, "It's from 2018. And she's like, "Wow, this looks really good." And I was like, "Well, I mean, I'm running it on the PS5. And she's like, "Why didn't you beat it 5 years ago?" And I was like, "I just got distracted." And she's like, "What do you mean?" And I was like, "There's a lot of video games." And my wife rolled her eyes and left the room. The other PlayStation game I played is Returnal, which is a roguelite game. Do you guys know this game? It's like sci-fi, and every time you die, your ship crash lands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like when you die, your ship crash lands on the planet and you start over and you keep redoing your run over and over and over again. But it's a story-based game. So like you get once you get a certain way into the procedurally generated level, you progress past that point and then you start resetting at that new point. So I played a little bit of that last night. I'm trying to get back into it. It's a more difficult game just because it's a roguelite and requires quick reflexes and understanding of all the abilities and positives and negatives you can get from different, I forget what they call them. You can get like malfunctions where you get like a negative attribute in exchange for a positive one. So there's a lot of like risk reward management stuff. It's interesting. Just wanted something to kill the time, so I was playing a lot of that. And then the last thing I played is Hi-Fi Rush, and I'm not going to talk about that now because we're going to talk about that in the news because it's part of the Xbox Developer Direct. So that's a perfect segue into the news. So let's talk about that Developer Direct. I've got the stuff laid out here in the way that it was talked about at the show. So also, if you guys need a refresher for Spencer and Gus, there's a link at the top to the Xbox Wire article where they kind of...
No, I don't, everything. Tim.
But I've taken notes anyway, so I'll have your refresher right now. Okay, so the first thing they showed, Minecraft Legends. I didn't realize Blackbird Interactive is also a co-developer on this, along with Mojang. So I think they're mostly focused on the multiplayer, which I think this is the first time we found out this game had multiplayer. But it basically has an online co-op story campaign that you can play single or with co-op with friends. And then there's a PvP mode, which is PvP, but it also has AI enemies in the PvP mode. So it's kind of PvEVP, but you're fighting the other team and you're both fighting the NPCs. The villains or enemies are called piglins, and the campaign and the PvP maps are procedurally generated, just like original Minecraft. And we got a date for the game, April 18th. So Gus, you probably are the biggest Minecraft player of the three of us. I always say
that. You say that all
I'm
the
not
time.
Saying you're like some huge fan, but you do. You have shown more interest.
Gus's
in Minecraft
entire
Dungeons.
Persona is based yeah, around Minecraft.
I have a creeper bedspread.
Yeah, he does, actually.
He only plays Minecraft games and Marvel games. That's his whole
Minecraft
thing.
Minecraft, because I'm actually a child. I'm a
his
big
TikTok.
Child.
He's a big TikTok guy, and he just makes TikToks that are all about Minecraft, targeted just at Gen Z under the
at
under
children.
18 crowd.
Good God. No, we can't have this getting out because it's not true.
Okay,
I'm gonna,
so the
I'm
coolest
end up in the hot seat like the dude who made Rick and Morty.
The coolest thing about this reveal of this game is it had like base building. It's like a strategy action adventure game. Like you build like your base and the enemy builds their base. It kind of felt like Halo Wars in that way, but it's not like click and, you know, have your enemy move. Like you have direct control of your character, it looks like. But there was a huge base building element to where, like, if you do PvP, you like build up your base and you have to, you know, deal with them invading.
It looked
and
too complicated for my blood, if I'm being 100% honest.
That's interesting that that's your take, because my take was the fact that it's more strategically dense and complicated made it more attractive to me, because you kind of think of Minecraft as kind of a simpler game graphically. And yes, there's a lot to Minecraft as far as like you can build insane, crazy things in Minecraft, and it has a really deep like level of interactivity with it. But I guess I wasn't expecting that from this. I was expecting something more like Minecraft Dungeons, which is kind of a straightforward dungeon crawler, but in a Minecraft world. This seems more dense than that. It seems like there's a whole like strategy aspect to it, and it made it look really interesting to me. I'm way more interested in this than I was before the Developer Direct. Spencer, it looked like you were about to say something.
No, sorry, I wasn't. I was just looking at mattresses because that's what I just bought, is a new king size mattress. So I'm trying to encourage myself about my purchase. I basically, actually, it's funny you mentioned like Gus making TikToks for Gen Z. One of my coworkers, her younger brother does that. Like he like has like a TikTok channel and like it's all Minecraft. Like it's just like a Minecraft thing. And apparently like the 15 and under crowd, they like love it. Like it's like they like love TikTok, obviously. That's the stereotype. But like Minecraft too. It's like it's super big. Like the under 18, under 15 crowd.
It's like Gen Z's Legos.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, really. But no, so I didn't play Dungeons and I haven't played actual Minecraft in probably 5 years. So I'm the last person to talk about my Minecraft game.
Well, the thing is, a lot of the stuff that I saw in the Minecraft Legends thing was the, like just how much of that stuff is actually in the base game, or like how much of it was new that they created for, cause like the, what she, like the girl was like, "Ooh, my favorite mob to ride is the, like some purple tiger. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that is not in the actual game. But I don't know. They've made so many updates that I couldn't actually tell you if that was true or not.
Oh, you're saying like you don't know if that's in Minecraft or it's something new for Legends?
Yeah, exactly. Which it could be, because there was a lot of stuff in Dungeons that was new to Dungeons. So that's why I ask.
Yeah, I'm definitely way more interested in Legends now and checking it out, where I'm probably not going to go back to Minecraft maybe ever again. And I'm definitely done with Dungeons. So this will be the only way that I'm going back to Minecraft unless something other big thing happens. But what I really appreciate is that Minecraft is doing new things. Like they're continuing to always update Minecraft with new features and new stuff, but they've also done Dungeons and now Legends, and you know, maybe they'll tackle another genre after this. And so I think Minecraft only grows. Okay, so it seems like we're all kind of lukewarm on this except for me. Let's go to some more safer territory. The second game they talked about was Forza Motorsports. And we still are Motorsport. And we still don't know. I assume they're just going to reboot it and call it Forza Motorsport. And it's not going to have like an
I hate when they do this. This is like why I'm mad that Call of Duty isn't like Call of Duty 13 right now, since they stopped naming them after 4.
Yeah, and God of War 2018 has to be referred to as God of War 2018 because there's already a God of War.
Yeah, that's even worse.
It's the same thing as Forza Motorsport.
Yeah, you're right, because there was a Forza Motorsport in 2005
This is going to be Forza Motorsport 2023. That's what we're going to have to call it.
No one's going to say that, though.
I think it's different. I think God of War will call it that.
People will, but I think this is less required than God of War. Because, like, when you say God of War, I assume you mean the 2018 one, because I feel like half the people that play the two new God of Wars never touch the old ones.
Yeah, and it would be weirder to be talking about the old one in now, a more recent time. So it would make more sense to say God of War 2005 or whatever year it was.
Yeah,
I don't remember what year it was.
I think it's earlier than that, probably. I think Forza Motorsport was.
Here
like
comes the clickety clack.
2004. Were you going to say? Were you going to say that we still don't have a date on this? Is that the first thing you were going to say?
No, I had not gotten there yet. I hadn't gone into any of the details. By the way, I searched what year did God of War come out, and it said 2018. And I was like, dang it, that's not what I mean. See,
PS1 or PS2.
Google just did it to me. PS2. Hang on, I'm almost there. 2005. Oh, I guessed right. Yeah, that was awesome.
Good job.
Here I have some details, some notes on the game and stuff they rattled off. 500 cars, 20 environments, 5 new tracks to Forza Motorsport, dynamic time of day, dynamic weather, dynamic track temperature and wetness. That sounded actually really cool, especially the temperature of the track thing. Ray traced global illumination, which is awesome during gameplay. 4K, 60 FPS, and yes, no release date was announced, which was something
very
that was expected,
surprising.
So kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I'm really surprised, because like, what's the point of having all of these Q1, Q2 games that you're discussing and announcing? Well, I guess technically in the case of Hi-Fi Rush or whatever it was called, it's announcing it. But I'm really surprised. If I put a note in here, like, if you look at the graphic that they released, it looks like it says coming June 2023, like COMIN 62023. And it's also in the order, it's after Redfall, which we know the date of is in May 2nd. And then it's before the Elder Scrolls Online expansion of June 20th. So I don't know. Tinfoil hat Spencer sounds like to me this game's coming out in June, between Redfall and the Assassin's Creed. Wow. The Elder Scrolls Online expansion. So that's what I'm saying.
So
in June.
Rumor online, mostly coming from Jeff Grubb, but seems like some others have corroborated, is that it was internally delayed again, but internal delays isn't really a delay, and that they're targeting Q3 right now. So that would be a little bit later than what you're predicting. It would make way more sense for like historical Forza Horizon, Forza Motorsport release timing. But
well, it's weird because like, didn't they say, I mean, this game originally they were targeting Q1 all along until now, obviously.
I think that was a leak too, though. I don't think they ever said that.
Well, I don't remember. I thought at E3 or one of those other events a year or two ago, they talked about they were targeting the first, maybe they just said the first half of the year. Like I thought for sure they were saying the first quarter because I don't remember where I'm thinking that from, but I don't know. It looks amazing though. Like I'm really surprised that it's not ready. Like everything that they showed, and obviously they're only going to show the good stuff and maybe it's all just vertical slices, but it looks really good. Like it looks, I mean, we haven't really seen gameplay, like, or at least with this showcase, we didn't see gameplay. Like we didn't see a guy actually racing. It was all, you know, stuff generated in engine or whatever, but it looks really good. So
yeah, like they surprising. Went into a lot of the technology backing stuff, and some of it we knew, like how they're going to apply the sound technology to like combine, like when you put a turbo on a car that doesn't have one, how that changes the sound, which is cool, but we kind of knew about that. And then they talked about like the new way they're capturing paint to like capture the like reflections in the paint and stuff.
Yeah. And don't forget, they did that is in Forza Horizon 5. Your car changes its sound based off of turbos, based off of exhausts, based off of intakes. So that's in Forza. They're just obviously evolving it the next step, whatever that might be, maybe making it more dynamic or making the sounds better. Cause they did. That was one line. The guy was like, oh, this is the best sounding Forza game we've ever made. So, I mean, I would hope so. It's the most current one, but yeah, that was kind of a point that they discussed.
It's weird to me that they didn't say the number of tracks. They said 20 environments.
Well, it's because in motorsport, you've always had, or at least the more recent motorsport games, you've had environments. And then within those environments, you can select specific tracks. Like some of them have, like one environment could have five tracks because you could have just an oval. You could have like a race, like a very dynamic race course that kind of goes all over the place. You could have drag strips. So that's probably why they just refer to it as 20.
Yeah, but 20 is like a really low number, like not accounting for multiples on individual tracks. I think Forza Horizon or Forza Motorsport 7 has something like 100 plus tracks, each one with multiple variations.
Really? That seems like very high.
I think so. How many?
I mean, the old games, like Forza Motorsport 3 and 4, which are the ones that I'm the most intimately familiar with because those are the ones I played the most, those had like 20 tracks. Like, if you
just
told me
they have IMS. I need IMS back in my life in 2023.
I mean, it says 122 tracks, but I don't know if that's variations or not.
I think that's including variations. Like, I don't think that there's 120 different racetracks, because that's a lot of racetracks. That's a lot of modeling that they'd have to do.
Yeah, that's true. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Like, it's probably 15 environments multiplied by 5 or something, if they're saying 20 environments. I don't know, though.
It looks like more like 30-ish. 25 to 30. I wasn't going to count them all, but yeah, okay. So maybe that is closer to the past.
Yeah, I am excited for this. They talked a little bit about the career mode. I think it's like they said, part of
the acted like it was going to be some all new thing.
Building your own car, I think, is what they said, which I don't really know what that means.
Yeah, I wonder if it's
literally
like
designing your own car.
I don't think that's what they meant.
Like,
I think
you are
it's
Elon
more,
Musk and you are making the Tesla Roadster. Like, what's happening here?
I think you're going to have like, you know, like a pit guy, and like you pick a car and you have to like upgrade it and stuff throughout the season. And then you move on to the
so
next
it's like
season.
More of
a different car
need for speed kind of thing. I don't know. They were very vague. So that's, I mean, that is something that is, I feel like with Forza Motorsport, maybe the biggest criticism, other than it not being an open world, is the career mode is kind of just like, oh, you just sit down and race for 30 hours and just go through tracks, which obviously a lot of people like that, but
Gran Turismo is kind of the same way. Like, get your license, the license
test.
Yeah, and
advance your tiers up.
Yeah, and you're in menus, racing. Like click race in menu, go to next race, click race, go into
right.
menu.
Right, so if they're figuring out a way to do that, but then also have some sort of new creative element, that's cool. I am excited for this game. It's been a long time since we got a motorsport game, which I think Motorsport 7, obviously, we've talked about on the podcast. It started out terribly with monetization and then totally rebounded. And I think turned out to be, I think it's the best of the new generations. So 5, 6, and 7, I think it's the best of those three by far.
Well, my hope is with this reboot that there's the microtransactions is way lessened, both because of what they learned in 7 and because now it's on Game Pass.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing in Horizon, so you'd think that they would. I mean, I know it's different people, but I feel like you'd look at Horizon, which is one of Xbox's most successful games, and be like, all right, well, I guess we don't need to do that, but maybe not.
Yeah, do what Horizon does, which is they put it in Game Pass, and then there's the upsell, you know, $40 version that adds extra cars and extra, you know, stuff. But it's not a microtransaction; it's DLC. It's not like that whole gear, like card thing they had in Motorsport 7, where you could get like bonuses for your next race, and that's what the microtransactions were tied to. That whole thing was garbage. Yeah. So any other final thoughts on Forza, or you want to move on to the next game?
No, that's good.
Okay, so this is the one I alluded to in the games I've been playing. This is when they announced the developer direct, they said Mojang, Turn 10, Elder Scrolls Online, and Redfall were going to be the... That's a mixture of games and studios. But those were the full four game/studios they were going to cover. They added a surprise fifth one, which was the third thing they went into, which was Tango Gameworks. And the game was Hi-Fi Rush. So this, the trademark has been out there, I think, a couple times in the past, but nobody really knew what it was or picked up on it, whether it was a code name or a game. So this is a huge surprise. So Tango Gameworks has mostly made kind of like horror games, like Evil Within. And this is a rhythm action game. And it's a cel-shaded cartoon art style. And the coolest thing about it is... Well, there's two really cool things. One is like the whole world and the your attacks, everything syncs up to a beat of like an MP3 player embedded in your chest, which sounds gimmicky, but it's actually really, really cool. And it sounds amazing. The soundtrack and the way this rhythm beats into the game is infectious, and it is an earworm. Like, I was playing this game on Saturday and I only played an hour. And I went to Spencer's house to go help him with some home improvement stuff. And the whole time I was doing that, Spencer, I was humming that song and that beat in my head. I'm telling you, it is infectious. And the weird, huge surprise, though, is that the game was released after the show. The game was immediately released. It was a surprise release. So January 25th, it's out now, and it's only $30. So you can either play it on Game Pass or you buy it on Steam, Windows PC, or Xbox. For $30, and it's next gen only. It's not available on Xbox One. This game is getting pretty good reviews. Obviously, there weren't a lot of reviews because nobody knew it was coming, but now people are starting to review it. It's getting high 80s, low 90s. I really like it. It's only like a 10 or 12 hour gameplay because it's a straight story game with boss fights and stuff. It's not like a big open world. Highly, highly recommend this. Especially if you have Game Pass and you can easily try it to see if you like it. Such a surprise. And there's so much to love here. Like, it's a cheap game. It's only $30. It's on Game Pass. It's a stealth drop. Like, we just got a new game. Surprise. So if you have Game Pass, just suddenly have a new game. All of that really, really, really cool stuff. I'm trying to think. There was one other thing that when I was playing it made me think of you guys that I was going to talk about. It's got a hard rock soundtrack. So each boss is a licensed hard rock song from like a major band. It does have the option to turn off licensed music if you want to stream the game so you don't get copyright stricken. And then like the whole world has like its own soundtrack that has like a beat that it bumps to. Just really, really cool. Spencer, when I saw you yesterday, you were like, I'm really surprised you like this game, Tim, and just doesn't seem like something up your alley. And I guess that to some extent is true. But does this jump out at either of you guys?
I think Gus said he downloaded it, but
I think his PC told him it was available. Yeah,
I don't think he actually told him it was available. I have not installed it yet. It definitely did look kind of. It almost kind of looked like Spider-Man from PS5 or PS4.
It's kind of brightly colored like that. It reminds me of more of the color palette of like Sunset. Well, I mean, like Overdrive. The
gameplay. Like him, like he like. So I don't know if it was, he's like his bionic arm or whatever. So
he's
like attached to a character and like pull himself to them to like hit them with like a punch. And I'm like, that's Spider-Man.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that yet. So far, all I can do is like my bionic arm summons a guitar basically out of it. And I use that as my melee weapon. But it's cool. Like syncing your attacks to the beat. Like, it's hard to describe, but the whole world that they've created goes to this beat. So, like, everything is animated to this beat. So, like, when lights are flashing, you know, like, you're walking down a hallway and it has, like, lights, they pulse to the beat of the whole world. Or, like, when there's, like, bollards that are coming up and down to, like, sync traffic or whatever, those bollards go up and down to the beat. They may skip a beat to, like, you know, off to make the timing right, but they always only move on the beat. And when you attack, your attacks always are on the beat. The question is whether your button presses sync up to the beat. So you get like bonuses, like extra damage and extra multipliers and stuff for having your attacks timed with the beat. And if you think, oh, I'm not very musically inclined, I'll have a hard time doing the beat, they have all kinds of stuff to make the beat easier for you to follow. Like your little, you have like a little floating robot cat that pulses the beat to help you see the beat. There's also, by hitting select or view, you can bring up this giant beat thing that helps you track the beat, so it's easier for you to know when to hit it. So it really makes it accessible if you're not somebody that's super musically inclined, which I wouldn't consider myself very musically inclined. So it does have a lot of ways to help. I'm going to play a bunch of this week, though. I might even beat it by next week, depending on what else I play. I'm also kind of into Returnal right now, but definitely worth checking out. Spencer, I think you should check it out, but since you're just now getting to High on Life, I could see it not being high on your list.
I've got so much. High on Life, GoldenEye, what else?
Age of Empires 2 comes out next week.
Yeah, but I mean, that tomorrow. One I'm not going to be too as compelled to, you know, play a ton of, just because I feel like you just kind of pop in for a match of that every now and then. That's kind of your fill. And Hogwarts Legacy coming up in 2 weeks. There's a lot.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Are you for sure buying that, or are you going to wait and
see? I think so. I mean, I'm going to look at reviews. Like, if they're like, oh, it's a 7 out of 10, then I'll have pause. But, I mean, if they're like 8.5, you know, it looks great. I mean, I would be surprised if it was below 8, 8.5. Like, it looks pretty solid to me. And I don't really care at all about Harry Potter. I've seen all the movies, but I'm not like some Harry Potter type fan. It just looks cool. And I want an RPG type game like that right now, because I just feel like there hasn't been much lately.
Yeah.
So...
okay, so after Tango Gameworks and Hi-Fi Rush, the next thing was Elder Scrolls Online, which is, what's the name of that studio that I always forget? It's
Zenimax Online Studios.
Zenimax Online. I wanted to say Bethesda Online, but that obviously isn't right. So this is the smallest update they gave. So they announced their new expansion. They do an expansion every year. This year, hang on, I'm going to cough. Saved your ears. The expansion this year is called Necrom. It's coming out June 20th. They're adding a new class for the first time in a very long time, only the third class since the launch of the game, called the Arcanist. And it's going to be set in Eastern Morrowind.
So they're still in Morrowind, because I think Morrowind was last year's expansion.
No, it was like 3 years ago. Last year maybe. Was something else. I can't remember, though. Yeah. Spencer made a joke, or no, Gus made a joke after this was announced. I was like, Spencer, you and I should get into Elder Scrolls Online. I was like, yeah, you guys should. And I know that'll never happen, because it probably requires.
Man, I've tried probably 3 times since this game launched in 2013 or 2014, whenever that was. And I just never, it's just never clicked with me. Like it's not detailed enough for me. And it's too much like an MMORPG. Like, it's too kind of floaty, grindy. And
too time consuming. Grindy, like most MMORPGs are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the main gripe that I have with those. Because my roommate wants me to play old school RuneScape again. I'm like, I simply would not be able to get into that, because it's too much.
You know, I was thinking of...
It involves way too much time.
I was thinking of Blackwood, because Morrowind actually was the first one in 2017. Morrowind, Somerset, Elsweyr, Greymoor, Blackwood, High Isle, and now Necron. So,
oh, they've done way more than that, I think.
Oh, well, yeah, there's the Imperial City, okay. Orsinium, Dark Brotherhood, Thieves Guild, Clockwork.
They put up a screenshot during the Developer Direct of every expansion that they've done, because they made them all free for like a week and a half. Bit. Yeah, there was like 20 or 30, it seems like.
Quite a bit of expansions, yeah.
I can't believe this game is still chugging along. Like,
I mean, if it...
player base too.
I mean, I think at this point they just keep it around to print money, because they're like, well, people play this and buy stuff in the shop, and if it helps, you know, if it somehow helps the development of Elder Scrolls 6 and Fallout 5 and Starfield, I guess, then by all means. And it's not even, you know, it's totally separate from Bethesda Game Studios, so it doesn't even matter from, you know, the perspective of their time.
Resources.
So
yeah,
I'm fine.
Yeah, and I'm happy that for the people that do like this game, at least they're still getting new content and support.
Yeah,
like
I know. If I actually was a fan of this game, that'd be awesome. The amount of support it's gotten.
Imagine if Skyrim was still getting DLC after like 7 years.
I still maintain that they cut the DLC off to that game way too soon. Only having two substantive expansions is pretty crazy.
Well, I don't think they were able to predict how big Skyrim was going to be compared to
Oblivion. If you compare it to Oblivion and Fallout 3, like it got less DLC than those did. And Fallout 4 also was kind of okay.
Fallout 4, they pulled an audible, though. Originally, it was only going to get a certain number of expansions, and they changed the plan after a few months and doubled the amount of DLC, and they raised the price on the season pass by $20. Do you remember that?
I don't. I think I had purchased it already by that point.
Yeah, it was $30, and then they said, oh, but we're actually going to do 3 more expansions or however many it was, and they're like, now it's going to be $50, I believe was the difference, but...
Yeah,
the price might be wrong, but that was definitely an interesting thing.
Yeah, yeah, it is what it is, though.
Yeah.
Move on.
Okay, well, the final game was Redfall. There isn't a whole lot new as far as Redfall. They showed a ton of gameplay. We now know the DLC will include 2 new characters. I think the gameplay looks amazing. That's what has me hooked for this game, and we did get the release date, May 2nd, which was leaked a week or two ago. We may have covered it on last week's show. So that is confirmed. So now we know we've got Minecraft Legends in April. We've got Tango Gameworks in January with Hi-Fi Rush. And we've got Redfall May 2nd. And they also confirmed that Xbox will do a summer showcase, likely be in June, the week of E3, like it always is. And we also know that they're going to do a dedicated Starfield event, likely sometime between now and that June event. So that means somewhere February, March, April, May. So sometime in that four month window, we will get the Starfield event. And I would say it's very likely that we're going to get the release date
It's going to be in February for that March release, baby. The dream is still alive.
Yeah, I think.
There was a placeholder thing from CD Keys this week that said March 23rd. And I was like, that's literally the date I predicted, because that would be 17 years to the day of Oblivion releasing, which also makes me want to kill myself, because that's an insane amount of time. But yeah, dream is still alive, baby. March release.
It would be very cool, because when they first announced the release date, you know, it was going to be 11/11/22, and that obviously had to be delayed. And they announced that really far in advance, like 9 months in advance. It would be really cool if they went closer to the Hi-Fi Rush strategy and were just like, hey, we're announcing Starfield's release date, and it's 4 weeks from now. That would actually be awesome.
Shadow drop that sucker. Be like, it's available now.
I don't think you can get away with doing that with Starfield, just because you do want the marketing push. Starfield's big enough that it's going to have, you know, big space commercials on TV.
I don't know. It worked for Beyonce's album that she just randomly dropped out of nowhere years ago.
Who?
Beyonce.
Who?
Who's Beyonce? Shut
Tim,
up, Tim.
You are...
Is, Tim, that, a per- is that a person?
You're lying. You're lying to me right now that you don't know who Beyonce is.
Is it yellow or lemon?
What?
I don't know.
I'm shocked that Tim Shelton has no idea who Beyonce is.
Of course I know who Beyonce is. I'm just trolling you. But no, I remember when she shadow dropped her album. But Starfield is a much more expensive proposition than a Beyonce album.
Yeah, that's probably right.
But I just think Starfield is such a big game that they're going to want to put, like, you know, TV commercials and
yeah,
and
there's no way
TV
it'll be shadow dropped. I'm kidding about that, but I am not kidding about March.
Yeah, it could get a 1 or 2 month runway. Like, you can spin up a huge marketing campaign for a month or two. I mean, it's actually more efficient to do that than to sustain for like 9 months.
I think,
and you already wasted a ton of marketing when you had to delay it the last time.
I think it's for sure coming out before E3, because I don't understand why you would have a showcase event for it, and then like 3 months later, it's still not out, and you're doing another major showcase event where you would have theoretically talked about, like, hey, we launched Starfield last month, and so far we've had 2 million players. It's going strong.
I think it's 50-50. I think there's a chance that could happen. I think it could be announced, get a release date, and then we see more gameplay at E3, and then it gets released in September.
November or something. Yeah. I don't know. I hope it's in the next 5 months between now and, I don't know.
I give it a 50-50 chance. That's my opinion. Okay. Other news this week. Far Cry 7 exists. Leaks and rumors suggest that Far Cry 7 and a separate Far Cry multiplayer game are in development. At least one of them is rumored to be set in the Alaskan wilderness. That's pretty much all of the details we have right now. My opinion, don't need a Far Cry multiplayer game. That just sounds like another Ubisoft thing that's doomed to get canceled.
They've already tried to do Far Cry multiplayer before. We don't need it.
Yeah, it was kind of the arcade mode thing they had in 5.
Well, and it was even mediocre. Before 5, Far Cry 3 had it.
Far Cry 3 had co-op. It wasn't...
They had a multiplayer.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
That's my point.
Unpopular opinion, I really like Far Cry, but for some reason right now, I don't really feel the appetite to have another one. Like, I feel satiated with Far Cry 6, and I'd be fine with it going away for three, four years. So, I mean, I could see an Alaskan wilderness Far Cry 7 being cool, but I think I'm fine just taking a break for a little while. So, Spencer seems uninterested, so I'm going to move on.
Yeah, they had like 8 maps for the multiplayer in Far Cry 3, it looks like.
I mean,
I thought they were co-op, though. I could have sworn.
No, they had a competitive multiplayer with Team Deathmatch, Domination, Firestorm, and Transmission. I'm looking at
it. Do not remember that at
all. Alaska is an interesting setting, if nothing else, because you could have a lot of cool animals, like Far Cry.
Why choose Alaska, though? Why not choose, like, the Siberian Wastes?
I mean, they already did Siberia.
Did they?
Sort of. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was the Himalayas.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Also,
I don't know. Like,
corollary to that, Montana and Alaska kind of similar.
Yeah.
Well,
like similar animals. Southern Alaska.
That's true. But at least it won't be about cults this time.
They haven't done a desert, have they?
No.
The second one was a desert.
Okay. Kind of. Geez, wow. Yeah. From what, 20 years ago?
And it was a very different type of game.
It was a desert and jungle. Like, it was both.
Because it was Africa. Yeah.
Africa.
It had malaria and your guns jammed.
Yeah, that's actually kind of cool.
It was cool because you had to get your malaria pills. And if you ran out,
that's funny.
It was very dramatic. Pills. It was like if you ran out, it was like your guy would open the bottle and he would like look at it and see that it was empty. And then you'd get like a woozy feeling. And then your guy would just like fall over and like be dead. It's funny.
The first Far Cry game I ever played was Far Cry 2 Predator.
And which was
like some weird like take on Far Cry.
I think it was
it had a
spin-off version for like the lower powered consoles, I think.
Yeah, I played it on the original Xbox and it had a forge mode. I'm serious, it had a map building mode.
Yeah, I mean Far Cry's had a lot of map building modes.
It's kind of crazy that had a great one. Like I'm pretty sure did Halo 2 didn't have forge, did it?
No.
Yeah. So that's crazy that Far Cry was like the original to do that almost.
Well, I mean, other games have done it too, I'm sure, but yeah, on console,
Far Cry
for sure 2? Not. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure old games had it. Like, I don't know if it was built into the game.
That's what I'm saying. This was built into the game.
Yeah, I don't know.
Build your own multiplayer map.
I'm not enough
like
of a game historian.
I spent a bunch of time in it. But anyway.
Yeah, so I don't know. Also, not much of a news story that Far Cry 7 exists. I think Ubisoft's popular game gets sequel. It could be the name of every story every week. So, okay, number 3, Game Pass edition. So we've finally gotten back to announcing 2 weeks of Game Pass stuff all at once. So for the back half of January, we have GoldenEye 007, RoboQuest, January 30th, Age of Empires 2, January 31st, Inkulinati? I don't know how to say that. It's like Ink Illuminati. There we go. That's probably right. Ink Illuminati. Anyway, January 31st, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle R, January 31st, Darkest Dungeon, February 2nd, Grid Legends, February 2nd, Hot Wheels Unleashed, Game of the Year Edition. It's back, baby. February 7th.
Yeah, another game. That was the other game I was thinking of between now and, or taking up my time here soon, that'll probably prevent me from playing Hi-Fi Rush.
So that was pulled from the December editions, right?
Yeah, like a month. It got delayed. Like a month and a half ago. It was like mid-December.
Yeah, so now it's coming back February 7th. And then leaving January 31st, Donut Country, Taiko no Tatsujin, and, oh, subtitled, The Drum Master, Telling Lies, and Worms WMD. Ah, oh, man, my pronunciations are so bad. Complicated game names don't do well by me. I apologize to anyone that is better at speaking that than me. Anyway, yeah, the big stuff here is stuff we've already talked about. GoldenEye, Age of Empires, and Hot Wheels Unleashed. Probably the three big ones. Grid Legends might be popular for some people.
Well, it's coming to cloud. It's already on console Game Pass.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Fine print there. Yeah. Well, okay. Number four, Ken Block unfortunately passed away a couple weeks ago in a snowmobile accident. Ken Block, the famous, I don't know what you call him. Would you call him a rally racer? Drift racer?
Trailblazer, Tim.
What do they call him in England? Like motorheads or gearheads?
Yeah.
Famous.
So iconic. Well,
he founded Hoonigan and
the
DC like skate brand.
Yeah. And
which a lot of people forget about that, I think.
Obviously, Hoonigan has a big place in the Forza Horizon games. Several of his Hoonigan cars are in Forza Horizon. So to pay tribute to him and dedicate to him, they are adding, they're giving away his Ford Mustang Hoonigan to all Forza Horizon 5 players, as well as Ken Block's racing suit and helmet in the game. So those are being gifted to everybody. I think those are available now.
Yeah, they are. The Hoonicorn, I already got. Well, I already had one, I think. So I have two now. My guy is currently wearing the outfit and driving the Hoonicorn.
I need to go in and redeem mine.
He did some voice acting too in Forza Motorsport 3, I want to say, because that was the first one that they really started putting the Hoonigan stuff in. Blizzard Mountain, I think he did some voice acting for that.
It's a real shame. Like I obviously it's terrible when you lose somebody in general, but I remember watching his early Jim Kahana like stunt videos, and those were just so cool. And all the cars he always built were just so awesome. And
yeah, he did some crazy stuff on those Gymkhana videos.
He's kind of like the Tony Hawk.
The Tony Hawk of cars. I was going to say the exact same
thing. Same era.
Might even say Evel Knievel.
Same vibe.
As well, because he did some pretty, like his Gymkhana stuff, like a lot of it was pretty dangerous. Yeah. Like it very well could have ended his life there doing those than like a dang snowmobile accident. Dang, like, come on. Like, that's like the worst thing ever. It's like it just like being like a random like snowmobile accident.
He was probably jumping a snowmobile or something.
Yeah, I'm sure he probably was. He probably was doing something crazy.
Speaking of
Evel, why do you have to go out like that?
His son just died.
His son died. Yeah.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Robbie Knievel.
Yeah, I was eating sushi somewhere. I saw that. I was like, dang, that's kind of sad.
Yeah. So, in addition to giving away the car and the suit, Series 18, which is the next season of Horizon 5, the festival playlist is going to honor Ken Block as well with exclusive in-game content and activities. So, it seems like there'll be a bunch of Hoonigan-featured Ken Block stuff for that as well, which will probably... I'll definitely check that out, because I like the drift and Hoonigan stuff anyway, and, you know, rest in peace, Ken Block. And then finally, the last story I have in our show this week is Modern Warfare 2's next update is getting something that the game needed since launch. And since I complained about this at launch and Gus complained about this at launch, I just wanted to highlight it. They're updating the UI in some places. So UI was one of the biggest complaints about Modern Warfare 2. Places that they're updating the UI, the social tab, the navigation, the organization of the camo menu, the reticle previews, and in the store and in the gunsmith and some other minor stuff. So that little summary right there, I was taken from GameSpot, but I think this all sounds good, but I still think they need to redo the main navigation just in general. That whole Netflix UI is just heinously bad. And I was in there the other day trying to do something and I just navigating it was such a pain. It actually makes me not want to play the game because I don't want to deal with the menus, which is super nitpicky, and it's because I have plenty of games to play that I'm not you know, if that was the one game I was playing, or I was playing it because it was free to play, I'd probably feel differently. But at least they're doing some things to improve it. I hope they totally redo it, but we'll see. I don't know. There's not really much to say there, so I won't even toss that to you guys. In the quick hits, the only thing I threw in here, which the quick hits is kind of now going to get blended with the kind of the pop culture corner, as I'm calling it. Anything else that we want to talk about this week? The one thing I threw in here is like a conversation starter is Tomb Raider is partnering. If you remember, they partnered with Amazon for their next game as a publisher slash co-developer. And it seems now that has some other benefits, as in they're going to be doing an Amazon Tomb Raider TV series. And one of the, I'm not sure if she's being credited as like the creator, the showrunner, the writer or what, but the actress, producer Phoebe Waller-Bridge is somehow involved. I don't know anything about her. I don't think I've watched anything with her in it.
So I just looked her up. She voiced L3 in Solo, and she's also the female lead in the upcoming Indiana Jones 5. But that's literally it. You probably wouldn't have known her from anything else because she's done a lot of writing and producing more.
What's the big show that she was on like in the last 5 years?
Killing Eve.
Okay, I've heard of that. I actually wanted to watch it, but I never watched it.
There was another one, wasn't it? It's like where she's like a 30-something-year-old single woman, right?
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. I can't remember the name of it, though. Spencer's on her production list.
I mean, I don't see it. None of the names of these shows jump out to me as something like that.
We'll throw a few out and see if they jump out to me or Spencer. Okay, you're doing great at this, Spencer.
Man, I don't even know. Run?
Okay, never mind.
Fleabag? I mean, I don't...
Fleabag, that's the one.
That's what it is.
Fleabag.
Okay, interesting.
The name tells you nothing about it, but
she was in 8 episodes of Broadchurch. I remember seeing ads for that back in the day.
So it means nothing to me that she's involved, but I am excited that Tomb Raider maybe could come back because I wasn't a super big fan of the last movie. I thought it was lackluster. And so it deserves another crack.
I remember started it, didn't finish it. And I was just like, I don't feel compelled to come back to this. I think I was watching it at your house, actually, Tim, one time.
It was bad. It felt like a movie that was created 20 years sooner than it was. In not the best way possible, like in the worst way possible.
Yeah.
Also, want to throw out there, this week, The Last of Us got renewed for season 2. So episode 2 was the largest ever increase from episode 1 to episode 2 in HBO history. So Last of Us is off to an amazing start. And again, everybody is still comparing, like Phil Spencer did an interview with IGN this week and they asked him what he thought of The Last of Us show. And he talked about how amazing it was and how proud he was of Neil Druckmann being able to go from producing the game and making the game to being a director on the show. Like the fact that he's creative through so many different outlets and genres. But then they asked him something of like, how does he feel about that with Halo? And, you know, he gave a very PR friendly answer. But the fact of the matter is Halo was just not as polished and amazing as The Last of Us is. Like The Last of Us is a nearly flawless execution of the game thus far.
And you know what's crazy is they literally followed the story of the first Last of Us game like to a T, just about. What they do with Halo, who knows?
Totally new. Retell everything.
Just trash. Having 1997 or 2005
to like
2005 Chevy Tahoes and never telling us why.
Yeah, they said they would tell us why. I'm still salty about it.
Don't think we've forgotten that.
I think it was supposed to be implied that that like was brought to space and then traveled across the universe and kept there forever. Gus's cat Bruce is standing over his shoulder menacingly, just like he's conquered the world. Yeah, I hope that this The Last of Us show opens up the door for like better adaptations in the future. Like imagine if the Assassin's Creed show that's being worked on ends up being this quality. It won't be, I'm sure. We'll be let down. But if it was, oh, that would be so satisfying. But that's a period piece, so it's a lot harder probably to execute. But then again,
also
they have to transform the whole world.
I feel like it's harder to mess up, too. Because like if you're set in a specific time period...
Well, I mean, it's
like
grounded.
A real time period, not like 500 years in the future like Halo, but like, you know, whatever. I feel like it's easier to make that show because it's, by definition, like you said, grounded. But
yeah, and how many shows are period pieces? Like there's plenty of movies and shows that have sets for like, mm-hmm. you know, 1600s, 1800s, whatever.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I feel like there's history in doing that versus Halo. You have to come up with all new stuff.
It was funny. Sometimes social media was pretty savage with comparing Halo and The Last of Us the last week or two. Just kind of like, man, what could have been? Although I don't know if a Halo TV show is ever going to be anything worthwhile to me, because I mean, yeah, there's lots of lore there, but to me, Halo is about Master Chief stopping the Covenant. I mean, yeah, there's lots of potential, I suppose, but it's not as interesting. There's not as much as like interesting about it as something like The Last of Us, because there's lots of questions that a game like The Last of Us raises. Whereas with Halo, it's just, it's straightforward. It's like, oh, we got to save humanity and kill these aliens. It's not like, oh, I mean, I guess you could ask, oh, where did the aliens come from? Or why do they want to kill us? But to me, that's just not as interesting of base material as something like The Last of Us, where it's like, oh, where did this virus that's on planet Earth, or not the virus, this fungal infection that's on planet Earth, where did it come from? Why is it doing this? Who's left? Where's the government? Who are bad guys? Who are good guys? What is the point of Ellie? You know, what, like all these types of questions that lend themselves to a multi-season television show a lot easier than stuff like Halo. But that's just me, I guess.
Yeah, and it got renewed for season two, which the second game is very different than the first game as far as story and tone and main characters. And the creator of the show said that the second game is likely to be more than one season of television. So it's likely that the season two will be the first part of the first game, the second game, and then season three would be the back half of the second game. And if they don't end up making Last of Us 3, which right now they're not saying whether they're going to make another one, we could end up in two scenarios. Either the show ends after three seasons because they just adapt the two games and they're done, or they could go the George R.R. Martin route and, oh, we're out of material to adapt. Let's just come up with new stuff. Which normally I'd be like, oh, that's scary for them to come up with new stuff. But Neil Druckmann, the guy that created the games, is involved in the show and actively directed episode two. And they do have an outline written for a third game. So if they don't end up making the third game, they could take that outline and use it to make the additional seasons of the TV show to make it more of a, I don't know, marketable four or five seasons. So I don't know. I could see it going either way. But part of me hopes they have the restraint to like do three seasons and stop, or do four seasons and stop, and not try and milk it like HBO does with everything that goes on too long, or I don't know. It's like HBO, everything goes on too long, and Netflix, everything gets cut short before it gets an ending. Oh, that's amazing. Now Gus's cat is wagging his tail in front of the camera of the webcam, and you can't see Gus at all. It's just hair flowing up and down. It's great.
He's being very needy right now.
That's fine. The show's over, so he can be attended to. We will end the show in Gus's honor. Final thoughts, Gus, Spencer, anything you want to say?
Nothing I can really think of. I'm excited to go play some more Midnight Suns. I never thought I'd catch myself saying that.
Yeah, I got to go take care of my kids, but tonight I'm going to play some games. I don't know what yet, though. I'm probably either going to play Hi-Fi Rush or Returnal or both. Spencer?
I'm going to go watch the NFC Championship game.
As am I.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sports balls. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton.
I am Spencer Rain. You can follow me on Twitter at Makes It Rain.
And I'm Gus Harden. And if you have any questions for me, you can tweet at the show on Twitter at Multiform Pod.
See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.